Okay, if you'd like to take a seat, we're going to be continuing our sermon series in the Sermon on the Mount. Graham's going to come and read to us from Matthew 6.
This is verses 9 to 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
So by way of a show of hands, hands up if you learned the Lord's Prayer as a child. Oh, wow, look at that. hands up if you've heard more than one sermon on the Lord's Prayer in your time as a Christian. Yeah, I imagine it's a very popular theme for sermons. Quite rightly so. Obviously, it's a very important resource for us, a very helpful thing that Jesus has. And I just want to remind us briefly just of the context that we have here. We've been looking over the past few weeks about the calling that Jesus had on his people to be living differently from the rest of the world. And we talked about how prayer and giving and fasting should all be acts of humility that are between you and God. And into that context, we know that there are hypocrites, that there are people who are making a big deal of their prayers. They're praying in public places. They're praying in loud words. They're babbling a lot. They're using lots of big words that people don't really understand. And it's probably leaving other people to feel somewhat intimidated by their prayer and feeling like prayer is something that's not for them at all. When Jesus is introducing prayer to his disciples, they're probably resonating a little bit with that issue, with that struggle that they're having. As ordinary Jewish lads who were just gathered around Jesus at the time, they probably were sensing this sense of something doesn't feel quite right about this praying in public places in these ways. Now, it's not unusual for a rabbi of any kind, a Jewish rabbi of any kind, to teach their people about prayer. It's a very normal thing for a rabbi to do, a very common thing for a rabbi to do, to teach their disciples what prayer is, why we pray, how we pray. And so it's not unusual for the disciples in another version of this gospel to ask Jesus, how can we pray? But they're not just asking, how can we pray? What they're really asking is, how can we pray like you pray? How can we pray the way that you do? Because something about the way that Jesus prayed was markedly different to them. And so Jesus begins to address this by answering the question in quite a radical and unique way, in a way that I would imagine would have stirred up the religious leaders even more than they were already stirred by what Jesus had been saying. In Jesus' teaching of the Lord's Prayer, what we could perhaps say that he's doing or see that he's doing, as is the case for probably most of the Sermon on the Mount, is he's showing his people how things should be and would have been had they always had God as their king. Had they always been living for the kingdom, had they always been living in this way, had they not chosen disobedience, had they chosen to have God as their king, this is what the kingdom of heaven would look like, and this is what prayer would look like. He is showing how he, as a perfect human being, can and does pray. And he's making a way for us to be able to pray in the same way. Not as a slave would pray to his master, but as a child would pray to his father. And that was the bit that was so radical at the time. The intimacy with which Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray was like nothing that had ever been seen before. Up until this point, God was this holy God whose name couldn't even really be pronounced properly. We couldn't really speak his name, but then Jesus is saying now, you can approach this God as your Abba Father. How Jesus approaches God, how he addresses God, what he asks of God, all show a level of intimacy between a person and a God the likes of which had never been seen before. And through him, remarkably, we too can share that same level of intimacy, have that same equivalent of relationship. Not a separate human version of what Jesus had, but the same thing that Jesus had. Through the events of the cross, through what Jesus did on the cross to make us worthy, as we said last week, to receive him, we have that same sense of being sons and daughters of God that he has as the Son of God. Knowledge of that, for me, makes this so much more than a prayer to just be remembered or normalized or said simply as part of a routine or because it's in the liturgy or because it feels the right thing to do. All of these are good things. But what this prayer shows us is that we have an invitation to pray as Jesus did, to pray what is on the heart of his Father, to align our hearts and desires with his heart and desire, to be in dialogue with our Father in heaven, who, even though he is holy and set apart and hallowed and righteous, is still the God who provides our daily bread, who is the one who shows us what true forgiveness looks like and invites us into that journey of forgiveness as well for our freedom. He's the one who protects us from the evil one. He's the one who desires to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven and is inviting us in to be part of that. We can pray to our Father in heaven, not with babbling words, but with overflowing hearts, as sons and daughters of God. So this then, Jesus says, is how we should pray. Don't overthink it or overcomplicate it. Don't compare how you pray to the way that others pray. But connect with your Father in heaven, who is listening attentively to everything you say to him, with nothing too small or nothing too big to take to him. And when you pray, pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, that's holy, righteous, brilliant, majestic, wonderful, be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. God, your will be done. On earth where we live, as it is in heaven where you reign. What that means is, God, as you reign in heaven, we want you to reign on earth. We want you to be our king. We want you to be our Lord. Give us today our daily bread. Meet our deepest needs of you. Forgive us our sins through your blood on the cross, as we seek to forgive others the way that we've been forgiven, so that we can be freed from bitterness and hatred. And lead us not into temptation. We know the enemy is around. Deliver us from him. Protect us from him. And then through the years, the church has added this tagline that says, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, the majesty forever and ever. Amen." That's the God we have the right to pray to as our Father in heaven. What a privilege. What a gift. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.